Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
Everybody, welcome to Night of the Living podcast. We are 1 week. We missed last week, but we're back hitting the ground running with Indigenous peoples with our guest curator, Lewis Fowler.
Hi. Oh. How are you?
Very good.
Love.
I got double duty this year.
Yes, I love finding new excuses to bring you on.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fun one. Lewis has already.
We could have had a three-way.
Ooh.
You could have had a bad bitch. Are we talking about a Skyline three-way? Skyline chili?
It's up to you to decide.
Three-way?
He's talking about a FFM three-way.
Oh.
MMW.
An MMA.
MMA three-way? Mixed martial arts?
Mixed mayonnaise. Aioli. Yeah.
On your
three-way.
But Lewis has chosen the main attractions for this month. We're kicking things off with Prey, which is that Predator sequel to Hulu. Mm-hmm. And then prior to that, Andy will review a movie called Nocebo for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. And Patreon.
And then prior to that was the time before now.
Long
it's right
before.
Now.
Patreon.com/NOTLP Origins is there. Andy reviewed the official Scream porn parody.
Official.
Are you excited?
We read three books and we celebrated 5 years. So check that out. Thank you for supporting the show.
It's a lot of math in that episode.
And a partridge in a pear tree. And
don't forget the haikus. There were also
there's haikus. All kinds of stuff.
There's a beautiful low-cus song.
Yeah. Kelly's awesome.
There's a beautiful song.
Song parody. Total Eclipse of the Fart.
My greatest work. It's my greatest. I'll never get past that.
I was going to say.
We're going to do a Topicana this week.
Yeah.
And who's asking the question?
Andy gave me the question.
Oh, what's the question?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what the topic is? Yeah. All right. Here's my topic for Topicana. All right, you're running for president of the United States of America.
I'm running from the president of the United States of America.
For.
That sounds good.
Pretty easy. Okay. I mean, Joe Biden's pretty old.
I just, anyone in that seat, I'm going to run directly away from them because I'm afraid.
Put on your tinnies. Corn Pop's coming to get you.
Corn Pop? Man, Joe Biden is so old.
he can't even get on a bike.
He's so old. You know, it could have been worse. You could have had Trump for a second term.
You're true. So right.
Yeah. I actually really like, I think Joe
of
Biden's
of course I like Joe Biden.
I was so afraid that you could
of course I like Trump.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know something about that guy. I don't know if it's the hair or the policies.
I mean, I should have known better, but I was just so afraid that you were going to say, yeah, I would like
Wouldn't
Trump.
That be weird?
I
would straight up believe you.
Do you think if I just watched one too many episodes of Blue Bloods, like I would immediately
too much CBS.
Switch over. Yeah.
So what are you going to do tomorrow when he's indicted, Freddie? Are you going to storm the Capitol again?
I'm
going to
fucking celebrate my ass off. I'll eat a tube of lipstick if they indict me.
A whole has someone asked you to do that?
Not even candy lipstick. The real thing. I'll do it if they do it. I want them to do it so bad. If that's the one thing that's stopping them is me not eating a tube of lipstick, I'd do it.
Do you want them to do it so that you can eat a tube of lipstick?
I feel like he
could just eat. You could just eat lipstick if you wanted to.
Yeah, I
wanted
no,
to.
No.
If it's not political, I'm not interested.
All right, seriously.
So the question about being president.
You are running for president. You are campaigning for president. And I want your non-political, I want your pop culture promises, your campaign promises. You're like the, you know, pizza parties every Friday for every office over 50 people, you know, just like silly shit like that.
Okay.
But like pop culture, like I will make them reshoot the last season of Game of Thrones and do it better in the way it should have gone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I already have some ideas.
Yes. So I want your President of United States Pop Culture campaign promises.
So that's coming
to
up
get elected
this week at patreon.com/NOTLP.
I feel no matter what the promises we make that we would not be elected.
Yeah.
We left too much of a paper trail with our podcast.
Oh, yeah. We would never pass the vetting process to run for any office. No. Not even like county treasurer or anything.
I would want all, I would really like to get all the vending machines out.
Get them all out.
No more vending machines.
Get them. Yep.
No more vending machines.
Exactly. That's my campaign promise.
Or all vending machines have to take a credit card because who has cash?
Most of them do now.
But not all.
Well,
that's a weird hill to die on, Lewis. Like, what is your?
I support it. We don't need vending machines.
What is your? Why do you hate convenience so much?
It's some hill I would just die on.
Yeah, a vending machine crushed a loved one.
Yeah. I love vending machines. When you go to the rest stops and you see the wall of vending machines there,
spoken like someone.
I do like the credit card machines. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, like I just like who I think when you were getting your shoulder surgery, Freddie, it didn't take cards or it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I had to fucking figure it out.
Do you remember that vending machine?
You put your life savings on Kit Kats.
It called Stephen King an asshole, that one vending machine.
Is that the one that also shot a soda can in his nuts?
It shot a soda can into that little league coach and killed him.
Is that why Lewis is so against vending machines?
Just of maximum motor.
Just in case.
Are you ready to see something terrifying? You guys remember that trailer when Stephen King steps out in front of the Green Goblin truck? He's like, hold on to your panties.
I don't want Stephen King saying panties to me.
Tie your hospital Johnny extra tight.
Oh, you can't believe this stuff he says, Andy. Yeah. He says panties all the time.
What is the, what does he call porno magazines?
Stroke books.
Yeah. Stroke books.
Oh, I love him. He's old.
Maybe smut books sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like he's used smut books.
Smut books. Jerk rag.
Okay.
Sticky pages.
That's where your fingers do the walk with the walking.
Yeah. I was about to bring up Lance Reddick dying, but I don't want him to follow.
That's a weird segue.
He'd think it was funny, though.
Why don't we all take a deep breath? Exhale. Lance Reddick died.
Rest in peace, King.
He was
so
fucking great.
Sad. He was pretty young, too.
Yeah. His comedy stuff is some of the best stuff he did too, which I think a lot of people don't realize how much comedy work he did. But in Destiny, we were playing Destiny for a long time, Amy and I, and he's a big part of that game. And I understand that like the online community in Destiny did a really nice tribute for him. And his wife seems like his widow seems like a really sweet person who was.
He seems so
very gracious.
Sweet.
Yeah.
He was always posting like videos on Twitter and just talking and his dog's barking and his dog's around and he loved his dogs.
Yeah, it was rough. I didn't mean to make a dog joke there. That was totally accidental, but I'll take it.
Lighten the mood.
Put a silver lining on that cloud. Horror Hound Weekend's coming up.
Oh my gosh, it's next week. This weekend.
The scramble to prepare has begun. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine like... I have so little compared to everyone else involved in this to do, but I'm still a little bit, I still feel a little bit of the stress of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing, I assume all this will still happen, a panel, two panels. Aaron and I from Whorehound Radio will be talking to John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And... and Doug Bradley.
That's exciting. Those are big names. Yeah.
Pinhead. Both have appeared previously on iterations of this show and that show. Great guys, so looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Make sure you wear your Night Limit Podcast shirt on stage.
Yeah. Well, Lewis suggested I do a whole full Crypt Keeper costume.
And then sit on John Kassir's lap and make him operate you.
I was going to sit in his lap and he could operate me like a puppet.
And then comedy onto Doug Bradley's as a Crypt Keeper too.
They can have a Crypt Keeper off. Sir Doug Bradley do it.
I mean, I originally thought we were going to have them together at one point, and I was like, I just want them to do sketches as those two characters the whole time.
Give them some lines to read.
That'd be awesome.
I have a real bone to pick with you.
So go to horrorhoundweekend.com. All the stuff's there. Sharonville Convention Center.
Stuff's there.
We'll be there. You just look for us if you're there.
And we'll be your friend.
We'll be your friend.
There's a lot of shirts.
Yeah, we'll have some shit there.
Well, we'll have shirts, but I just mean the convention.
The convention also has a lot of shirts.
More or less a shirt convention.
I did see a lady there once whose shirt was painted on.
Oh, yeah. She had nice.
I got called away from my table to look at her.
Yeah.
There's somebody who was like, come here, I want to show you something. It wasn't you.
It's not considered a shirt at that point, is it?
Yeah, it was Mike, actually. He was like, come here, I want to show you something. And I was like, yeah, she's naked. I was like, that was kind of something I just, you know, I wasn't shocked by it or anything. I was barely titillated by it because I was so tired.
Yeah.
Whorehound, I'm always tired.
If you weren't tired, would you not have been titillated?
Freddie was barely titillated, you guys.
Titillated by
what
this.
A disappointing Whorehound.
I was like, so it's tired. More on me. It's more on my poor circulation than it is anyone else's.
You let your guards down because you were so tired and you got titillated.
Just when you thought it was
barely
titillated at the Sharonville Convention Center.
Remember that announcement? You know how like Whorehound does a guest announcements?
Mm-hmm.
The big one was now appearing shirts.
Shirts!
Shirts are there.
They're the special guests every year.
I know. Are they doing signings?
They'll sign your pants, ironically enough. But anything else for the top you guys want to talk about?
Yeah. I got to see Kelly last night in person.
Yeah.
And we all went.
Hold on. I'm.
No, you go ahead and do what you got to do. Lewis, you live in a different state, so you were not at this giant, delicious, decadent steak dinner we had. It was wonderful, but I am like, my body only wants garbage. So when it gets good ingredients, it's mad.
So was it a steak dinner? How far was what was all the trimmings?
Dude, more than we can even explain to you. Like, it's like Elise is like Daddy Warbucks. She swoop in and she was like, "We got Annie." And then, like, everybody's dancing and feeding us tomato fritters and shit.
Oh, yeah, those tomato fritters.
Yeah, they're still in there.
Pork belly skewers and scallops, seared scallop skewers. And
live piano?
Yeah, that was the most important part.
This, it's Jeff Ruby Steakhouse here in Cincinnati. And they at the bar, they have a stage a reasonable facsimile of Liberace's piano up there. It was like all bedazzled. It had crystals all over it.
Yeah.
And this older man playing.
Mm-hmm. Who looked like a character from Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Like someone who just lives in the building. Mm-hmm. If that reference means anything to anybody, if it does, you'll know what I mean. Scarf and everything.
Yeah.
And he's just tinkling away. And then he starts playing Stained.
It's been a while.
He starts playing It's Been a While. While we're
there's a video.
And this whole hasn't been long enough.
It looks like the Great Gatsby, like
it's a very stylized Gatsby.
Yeah.
Art Deco 20s, 30s. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's up there playing like stripper pole music. at this point. I got a video of it on my TikTok.
You think that song is a stripper pole song?
That's the last place I heard it. Like 20 years ago.
But it's such kind of like a mellow song.
Yes.
Like, it's been a while.
Well, that's what strippers dance to, man.
Yeah.
It's not all crazy, bitch.
It ain't.
It was like a melancholy stripping.
It was a sad stripper, yeah. I only exclusively went to sad stripperies.
At the stripper.
I like to start a strip club, but it's all PG songs.
Yeah.
In public domain. Camp Down Races, sing that song, and then making it clap.
And then POD?
Yeah. I'd make it rain on that.
But no, that was awesome. I'm not talking about the strip club or anything or the music. I mean, the dinner.
Kelly, yeah, it was good.
You really made us feel like human beings again.
Oh, well, you guys made me feel like a human being again. I haven't been out much, so it was real nice.
It was.
To see some people and eat out amongst, you know, the glitterati.
Yeah, and Elise
fancy.
She had her pink fur coat on, like she like killed the Easter bunny. But that thing's fucking awesome.
I know I inappropriately hugged her, but I couldn't help it.
It was like hugging that Lotso.
You can hug her however you want. It probably wasn't inappropriate enough.
I should have squeezed more.
You guys both just look so good. Everything was beautiful. The food was delicious.
It was wonderful.
I
stole stuff from the bathroom. You know, when you go to a fancy restaurant and they got stuff in the bathroom. I just stole some bobby pins. I'm like, I could use those.
That's
like, I did it.
Of all the people, I didn't steal anything. You would think I would take
some flossers or
that is very that's a you kind of thing. I didn't take anything either, though.
I didn't even take any of the complimentary candies in the front.
I didn't even notice them.
I was too full of meat to notice.
I'll tell you, a restaurant that puts flossers in their bathroom is top notch in my book.
Well, it's a steakhouse. It's like, really smart.
There was also complimentary deodorant spray and. Stick.
I didn't notice those.
It was mouthwash, weird. Of course. Huh.
In case you've worked up a real sweat eating, 30 ounces of steak.
Yeah, Kelly, that tomahawk steak. You should have seen this thing they brought to Kelly.
It's like a Flintstone thing.
Yeah,
hatchet.
I've heard of all tomahawk steaks. That sounds really good. Mm.
It was big. I'm finishing it for dinner. We're going to heat up our steaks.
You know, you've been to a great steakhouse. What's the worst steakhouse in Cincinnati?
Ponderosa.
Probably Ponderosa.
It's not even open anymore, right?
It's a steak you can cut with a fork.
The ghost of Ponderosa.
the thinnest steak available.
You can see that.
That's the steakhouse I want to go to.
Yeah, I'll take you to Ponderosa.
It has a buffet on it. You got a salad bar. You get little fried chicken wings.
Can you get a steak at like Frisch's?
I don't know. Probably, but I bet it's not.
Yeah.
Bad. You know the thing a diner can make a good steak. Don't ever underestimate a steak at a diner because they have the same fucking flame broiler in most of those places that steakhouses have.
I believe you, but I have not had one.
Yeah.
I've not had a good diner steak yet, but I believe you.
Waffle House?
I just have.
Not so much.
Mm-mm. Do they have steak there? They probably have steak and eggs.
They do.
Well, I would like to try the worst steak and eggs, the steak in Cincinnati.
Well, that's what I can afford.
Golden Corral. I bet Golden Corral is the worst steak in Cincinnati.
You know, it's still not bad. I mean,
oh, my God.
It's not that bad. It's
like, I don't
know. You're distracted by the amount of it.
Lord.
All the sneezing.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, unlimited steaks. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, it's just cheap cuts. It's sirloins, but it's good. You know, you're talking, my family ate pig's feet. What are you going to do?
I like.
Stuff's good.
I like well-done shitty cuts of meat. I'm sorry. That's me. Yeah. That's why I don't order steak at steakhouses, because I just don't want the hassle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, there isn't enough Alka-Seltzer in the world for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my problem is, but I'm going to be okay.
Is there a guy out
there? I want you to be okay.
Alka-Seltzer. I mean, because seltzer probably is not a
well,
name.
There is that guy from Harlem. His name was Al Cooper. The guy from Harlem. Sorry, that's a Riff Tracks joke. Somebody listening got it, and they were like, they're mentally high-fiving me, okay?
We've been mainlining Riff Tracks hard.
So,
I don't even know what it's like to watch.
You got to be careful with that, man. You're going to end up on the street just like giving BJs for riff tracks, man.
I'll suck your dick.
The slippery slope, man.
So is it weird to watch things without commentary now?
Yeah, a little bit. And also, it's weird to watch anything that's competently made now.
Yes. Between riff
your brains have adjusted.
Yeah, we don't know what's good anymore.
Like Prey, when we get to talking about Prey, that might as well have been reality to me. It was so intense. I was like, it was so expertly made, and like I'm just like, I was transported to early America. Everything felt real.
So hypothetically, if you win the lottery, would you hire the Riff Tracks people to
live with us?
Live with you and do live commentary?
Sure. I would buy them.
They could do the news.
It's like, Mike Nelson, we're watching some Star Trek. Let's come on out.
You're like, not that one where she fucks the ghost from the candle.
That would be like, the perfect one for
that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else for the top before we get into the nitty gritty of this thing?
No.
No.
Lewis, anything on your mind?
Nope.
Good.
We're good and empty.
Roll back to a blank.
Well, all right.
All right. Well, here we go. We're going to move on.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
You'll be brilliant. Love you.
Bye.
Lucky shoes, make me win and never lose.
Have you been anywhere, Christine? After everything.
Hi.
Hello, Christine.
Sorry, do we know each other?
I'm here to help you. You sent for me.
I forgot.
That's quite something to forget. Nice to meet you, Diana.
Hello, Bubs.
Only my friends call me Bobs.
Straight to work, eh?
You okay?
I make it go away.
This is a folk remedy, right? Lifted. It's not forever. I'm so happy.
I will be with you. Always.
Sometimes you can get led astray.
I need you to trust me.
My meds are gone.
She's controlling you.
I'm not the one who needs to control.
Stay out of my wife's head.
If her problems are in her head, I will find them and chase them out.
Why
aren't
you
lying? Allow me in. And you will be free.
Stay out of my wife's head.
Are you going to make that sound every time too?
I feel like somebody, there was that like farting in the bathtub sound during that trailer was making me giggle. Andy. Nocebo.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no to Nocebo. I'm not going to say yes to Yesebo either. I'm going to say maybe SIBO.
Maybe SIBO.
And this is recommended by our friend Esther. I hope this is not a reflection on you. I don't
it's
I know
not.
Some people take their recommendations very seriously.
I gotcha.
And
the way you phrased this sounded funny, though. It sounded like you're throwing shade at her.
I don't know how much she's invested in this recommendation either.
Well, she is their primary investor.
Yeah.
She's sweating the shit out of this.
It did make sense. She does go by Esther Nocebo, so I should have
weird.
I'm just saying, like, Esther, I just because I don't necessarily recommend this movie. I do recommend
He still loves you.
Yes. I recommend you as a person.
Yes, highly recommended. 5 stars.
I love the cast of this movie, though. The two leads, I'm big fans of both of them. Mark Strong and Eva Green.
Yeah, I love Eva Green.
Yeah. I was amused, but it was... It's aggressively fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do.
I'm aggressively fine. I've been called.
He's fine. No, you're aggressively fine.
He's fine.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know if it was the intention of the movie makers, but I clocked the ending from the first 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
But I don't know if it was so obvious that I think they intended to make it obvious.
Oh.
Because I don't take much... Don't take... Because I'm a dummy. So I figured it out.
Can confirm.
He just wants you to think that so you'll let your guard down. Anyone who hears this, Andy's a mad genius.
But like I said, I think it wasn't intended to be like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It was obvious it was going to happen. And it's also hard to find somebody to relate to because most of the characters are pretty very unlikable. Mm. I guess the housekeeper they take in is the person that you're supposed to relate to and cheer for. Even her, she's like lighten up.
She probably like what? This character's probably like a fucking refugee.
She went through like a tragedy, shit. But she was. I'm like,
what does a SIBO mean?
It's like placebo, I guess. I think that's what they're making a play on.
But it's like no.
Oh, they just made that word up.
Yeah.
It's Obicon spelled backwards.
You had to watch it in the mirror.
So. Nilbog.
I don't want to be like, say, you should smile more. I want to say to the
movie?
To the housekeeper character, you should smile more.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said
that. It was just very heavy, the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Eva Green's like, is she sick or something in it?
She...
In the head.
She doesn't know what...
Sick AF. Yes.
Yeah, like Kelly said.
Dude,
yeah.
You're sick.
Guitar riff. She has like this... undying. She's like... She doesn't know what's going on. Like she's just like headaches all the time, and she's always tired.
Same, bitch. Same what did she find out? That's why we didn't do a show last week.
Were you cursed?
Yes.
Yeah.
To have a woman's hormonal system.
We hired a Filipino housekeeper. It didn't help.
Nope.
This movie lies.
And the Filipino.
This movie's about women problems. Yeah.
It's about woman problems.
That's right.
And
you've heard of woman dogging.
Woman problems.
Now here woman comes.
Problem. I'm not going to understand this movie at all.
Sorry, Andy.
So the Filipino housekeeper comes in and helps her out, and she's like, "Oh, thank you so much. You cured me." But at the whole time, she's doing these folk remedies on her and punishing her. So you know that Eva Green did something bad to deserve this.
Kind of sounds like Servant, that M. Night Shyamalan series. Oh, I don't know. I've never seen like it. That.
But it is satisfying to see her go through a lot of shit because she did some horrible things. I mean, I guess that's... Is that a spoiler?
Enjoying watching her suffer for her sins?
Yes.
I have no idea.
There was some cool tick imagery.
Tick?
Like ticks.
As in ticks?
Yes.
As in like something that bites you in a field? Yeah, okay.
If you're into ticks.
Yeah. I'm into ticks.
I don't think anybody is.
There was some...
It's very popular genre, Amy.
There was that movie Ticks where didn't people explode?
Yeah, Alfonso Ribeiro was in there.
Oh, Alfonso
Ribeiro.
Wait,
what? Yeah. I need this in my life.
You've never seen Ticks? I'll find Ticks.
If it's
for
the
you.
Movie I'm thinking of,
I'll check you for Ticks later.
I think he exploded because he got bit by a tick.
You mean
another spoiler? Sorry,
Alfonso Ribeiro from
Alfonso Explodo in this case.
The only one, the one and only.
Hey, Alfonso. We want to see more tick horror movies.
Don't worry. Wait, so, more tick horror movies right here.
So are you saying now Ribeiro was in the movie here or into Ticks?
He was in Ticks.
Oh, because this is what I'm saying. I thought he was in this.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Alfonso Ribeiro suddenly became a dramatic actor again?
Like, hey, it happened. What happened to that guy in the whale? Maybe he'll get on the.
I need to see
Brendan
that.
Brendan Fraser.
I haven't seen half of the Oscar nominee shit because
you
don't
tried.
Care.
You saw Tar, and that was awful.
I saw Tar.
I didn't like it.
I
like
Tar. Yeah. I didn't love it. I mean,
I prefer Low Tar.
It made me sad.
Back to it. It made
me feel something.
They did a cool thing with a tick. There was like a giant tick in this movie. It was neat to look at, even though ticks are gross.
Yeah. Who played the tick? Oh, was it Patrick Warburton? It was.
Patrick Warburton. No!
He's been typecast.
Get me right to it.
Like I said, all the characters are unlikable, even the kid. But I think most kids are unlikable anyway.
True. Yes.
I don't know. It's hard. Yeah. I don't know if I recommend it. The ending was satisfying because she did get her comeuppance in a satisfying way.
Cool.
But leading up to it, it was just very...
Did it feel sloggy?
No. I've just seen it before.
Oh.
And there's nothing that makes it stand out enough for me to say, you should see this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless maybe you've never seen it before.
Yes, it's just there as a movie. So I don't know if that's... But I was entertained. But I don't know if you're going to get anything out of it just besides an hour and a half of mild amusement.
The trailer looked kind of dull to me.
Yeah. I mean... You don't... It's okay. If it wasn't for you, it's not
for
you.
No, I'm just trying to figure out if I recommend it or not.
Oh.
You know? I gotcha.
It's a confusing one. Because, like I said,
he's thumbs ambivalent.
Entertained and amused, but at the thumbs same ambivalent. Time, I'm like, okay.
I'd watch it for Mark Strong. I think I like him in everything I've seen him in, and I think, like, he's enough. And then Eva Green on top of that is probably enough to make me...
That was probably maybe a problem with the casting, because you knew right away that when you see Eva Green, that she's not going to be this heroic character. You know that she's going to... That she's up to no good.
You feel like she has an inherent edge in her that you don't trust. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. I don't trust her as my heroine.
Uh-uh. It's the green eyes.
She just has like an edgy look to her. You know,
Andy hates people with green eyes.
It's that thing when you're...
I'm not low pan.
You're watching...
He's the opposite of low pan. He's high pan.
When you're watching like Law and Order and, you know, somebody's murdered and the police go talk to this guy and he's like, I didn't do it. And they're like, I don't know, he might have done it. And then they go talk to this guy and you're like, this guy might have done it. And you're like, for sure the next guy did it because he's somebody you recognize. You're like, that is the murderer because he'll be in the rest of the episode.
And also they have to have that big dramatic scene where they confess.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be the most capable actor of the bunch so that they can melt down and be like, my short hairs. They burn my short hair.
What?
Or was it Blue's Clues? Steve from Blue's Clues was the...
Oh.
He was on Law & Order, one of them, and he had the big...
Long time ago,
dramatic scene.
Oh, was he bald or something?
I can't... No, they did something to his pubes, I think. I think that's what he meant by short hairs.
They burned my short hairs.
It drove him too far.
Remember that famous line from that show? They burned my short hairs.
They burned his short... I mean, it's a famous clip because it's Steve from Blue's Clues.
He's back in our lives again.
Anyway. Yeah, he seems like a real sweetheart. Yeah. The real life version, not the killer.
I really do like Eva Green as an actress because she's just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that she's going to kind of play like a villainous character anyway.
She just got involved with some low budget movie. There's a bunch of controversy over the fundraising behind it. So if you're into production drama, look up Eva Green, probably just Eva Green controversy. It'll probably be one of the more recent articles, but it is interesting. Yeah. Interesting
for those
thing.
Google tips.
So I wouldn't be, they would have weeded me out of the jury because I pegged her as like, oh, you're a villain.
Yeah. I don't know if she, I mean, like, I don't think she is at fault of anything in this. It's more like she got wrapped up in it is the way I understood it. But it's an interesting story. I won't get into it here. Because that would make this show too interesting.
But this movie was not interesting. Yeah. I'm not going to recommend it.
Okay,
I made a decision.
Phew!
I'm glad you finally came to a a conclusion.
Yes, that was hard, Andy.
I'm
that
sorry
was hard
for that
there.
Very long-winded and unnecessary review.
Hey, he agonizes. He really gave it his all.
I want to do my best for the listeners.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's get into something better.
Well, hold on.
As soon as Amy picks who's going to watch. What's next, Amy?
The movie for next week is on Netflix. It's called We Have a Ghost.
Oh, I want to see this.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
This advertised. Yeah.
That comedy movie, right?
From Michael Landon's son comes. We have a ghost. Finding a ghost named Ernest haunting their new home turns Kevin's family into an overnight social media sensations. No, but when Kevin and Ernest investigate the mystery of Ernest's past, they become a target of the CIA.
And they get scared stupid.
All I saw was Jennifer Coolidge, and I said, yes, please, where can I go?
And it's nice. Got the dude from Stranger Things, right? The hot daddy.
David Harbour. Yes.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Anthony Mackie.
Who's going to watch it? Who's going to watch it?
Spinning the wheel of fun. Spinning the feel. Oh!
There you go.
Yep.
Lewis!
Oh, shit. You shouldn't have agreed.
Yeah.
But no, this is a good one, I think.
It's fun.
Should be a good one.
So is it this week or is it when next week? Because
next or oh yeah, because we're gonna skip a week probably for Horror Hound. That's well, right. No,
it's on Monday.
We could probably do it.
We can still do it. We can figure that out when we're not recording.
Doesn't matter, guys. But yes, next time we record this.
All right, we shall return.
We're coming back.
We'll be right back.
Why do you want to hunt?
Because you all think that I can't. I saw a sign in the sky. I'm ready. Maui Nita. There's something out there. I'm coming with you.
You can't.
I'm trying to protect you.
Protect me from what?
It's time.
Knows how to hunt. I know how to survive. Whatever did this, I can kill it.
What a badass movie.
Good sound design.
Such
trailer.
A badass movie. Oh, yeah.
Makes Buffalo Rider look like Bad News Bears.
It's honestly, I actually like this quite a bit better than the original Predator. I like this.
I can
see it of all of them. The Purrs movies have gone down so much. And for it to come back with this kind of a renaissance is just, I mean, it's kind of, it's made it into a great vehicle. It's between that and like a Reservation Dogs, you know, they really, it's they've gotten this really gotten some of the best work, you know, in movies from this year to this year. It's a great movie. It really is a great movie.
Yeah, it's what Dan Trachtenberg, the guy who did 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
You know, and, go ahead, Lewis. I'm sorry.
No, it's very factual, you know, with the exception of a predator, it's got.
Except for the predator.
Right.
That we know of.
Hey. You know, but the 1700s, you know, it's not really horses or anything. And so you see these Native Americans, they're being hunted down by the fur trappers and everything. It's great how it is more than just a movie, because it plays on these notions, mm-hmm. that are just people don't really even recognize about Native Americans, you know?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't feel contrived in any way, or like. It does feel very much like he looked at the writers when they put this together. It feels like they looked at this part of history and were like, we want this to literally be the predator dropping into a really accurate history book.
And it feels, that's one of the best things. It puts you, I feel like, at least for me, it put me in that place and made me kind of, I mean, obviously you don't know what it felt like to be in like such a pristine, time. When the country was just woods, but it's the next closest thing to like, this is maybe kind of what it was like to be in this place when it was like this. And, mm-hmm. and even without the predator, it's a very compelling movie.
Yeah. You could watch this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Andy, is Predator a colonizer?
No, he's just a hunter.
He's a hunter.
So like, I love the idea of, I love the first and second Predator movies. I actually am a big fan of Predator 2. I think that one is a whole lot of fun.
You love anything that takes place in Manhattan.
And I love anything with Danny Glover in it, too. But like,
have I seen Predator 2?
Yeah, we watched it recently. Remember, it was the one in the city? And Danny Glover is the cop? You don't know? Yes. Anyways, there's...
The body is like a... They have that saw thing that he falls down...
Yeah, he's got the blade. You should watch it again because it's great. But that movie establishes the idea that really sets up Prey. But you don't get Prey for all this time. You don't get a movie. They don't use Predator correctly again after Predator 2 to its potential until now when they make Prey. But they set up in the end of Predator 2... when Danny Glover gets to the ship, the trophy room of all the
xenomorph. Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, he gives the gun. I love that the gun plays into Prey at the end. It's the same gun that the Predator presents to Danny Glover as a trophy, because the surviving Predators present to him as an acknowledgement that he was the superior.
Oh, that's what
hunter.
That was. I didn't go back to figure out what that was.
It's the gun from Prey. Uh-huh. So like, I love that the writers paid homage to, you know, the original material.
The mythos, yeah.
And the mythos. It feels, and downgrading the look of the Predator, because this is also the Predator's past. It's not like he's a time traveler.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's landed on Earth, but he is also in a very primitive form of the Predator. His bone, his mask is made of bone.
And
the laser sight that's part of it, which also kind of insinuates that maybe the technology they're using isn't even the same kind of tech that creates lasers for us. But like, the little arm computer has less functionality. Like, all those little details make like a hardcore Predator fan like boner out, you know.
How did Cretton react to this movie? I forget. Oh, Jason Cretton
loved it
because he's
the hardest core.
He's
Predator.
The only
he did that.
He's seen that movie more than anybody in the world.
Watched it every day for a summer, didn't
twice. A couple times.
Yeah. Two summers. Well, when I first met Jason Cretton, who's one of the hosts of Horror Hound Radio, when we met long ago before we started doing that project together, he had watched Predator every day for an entire summer. He would watch Predator. And I was like, that's...
He was blogging about it, right?
No. I was like, you need to blog about it. I was like, you need to blog. And he did. He turned around, and I hope the blog's still up somewhere. But he did it again. He watched Predator every day. He was like, it interfered with like his home life. He was watching Predator because he had to put aside time within every 24 hours to watch Predator once. And that's the hardest of hardcore Predator fan. He loved Prey.
God.
But yeah, this movie's fucking great. Yeah. What made you? Did you pick this? Lewis said you had already seen it.
Well, I reviewed it for Lost Soul when it came out. You know, that weekend it came out on Hulu. And over the course of weeks, I've talked to the cast and. You know, and it's what was the other movie that went Andy that
Slashback?
Yeah, Slashback and the movie on Shudder, the
Blood Quantum.
That was a great movie.
Movies, the genre movies are getting such a big turnover from those movies. You know, people are liking they're using this as a new form of
No, you're all right.
Yeah, well,
it's okay. I'm seeing more and more stories in my media pop culture diet about Native Americans or First Nations. Just because, you know, I live in America and Canada's right there. I didn't even realize how much more I was seeing until, you know, recently.
This is like the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's only now, in the past few years, this stuff has actually been acquired, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a game that I play called Cards for Decolonization.
Cards of Decolonization?
Cards
for Decolonization.
Yeah. And that really is a great game. You play it kind of like the other
against humanity.
Is it kind of Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah.
Specifically, okay. Yeah.
Exactly like and it really shows you how all that stuff. I mean, to know that stuff is only like a couple of years. You know, because all the indigenous film, you know, it's about the tribal warrior who comes, he's fucking Kevin Costner or something, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like outside of their culture, but films like this, I mean, they really have really made a real point about the not only the culture, but making it their own mission statement to have these characters, you know, and a movie like this makes it a franchise franchise makes it even more that, you know, this is a franchise that we can get behind, and you know, where we're going to make more of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it lends some weight to it for sure.
Yeah,
and also like you're talking about, like from the colonization standpoint too. Like this movie does such a good job of the furriers are really like an invasion.
I think a furrier is something different.
Okay,
fur trapper.
What's a furrier?
I think you make fur coats if you're a furrier.
Okay. The fur trappers. Well, fur
is someone that has shoes a horse.
That's a furrier. Okay.
Farrier.
That is that a farrier?
Furrier.
Who is shoeing a horse here? No one. So I'm not going to use that word. I'm going to say fur trappers.
The fur trappers.
The point is that they do a good job of, they are very clearly just invading like this space. They don't have like established settlements. Like, so the perspective on this is, it's not even, it is very much a first people's movie because like it's showing those guys are still just on the periphery. They're almost like aliens from outer space themselves that have come into this land. They're so different than the indigenous people that they show in the movie.
Yeah, no, it is. And to what both of you said, like that is one of the nice things about it too, is that you're getting this story from the perspective of the indigenous people, of the native population.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Without the context of a white person being like what they're set against. Like you said, the trappers are just set dressing more or less. Like, and the story is completely told from the, I think it's the Comanche. I'm not sure. I don't want to, but I think that's what it said in the description. But anyway, of the tribe, it's their story. And that's, I like that. And then it's not some, like you said, Kevin, even when they're trying, when you have something like It Dances with Wolves, it's still from in the context of this is, you know, native population as it applies to white population. Whereas this is just their story, about them.
Colonist gaze. To borrow something from feminist stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, even aside from all the Native American voices that they're using, as a pure action movie, that it just works.
Well, because and they don't dwell on that stuff either.
I just love how pure it is and how simple the story is.
Yeah.
And you can't take something out of it with all the fur trappers and the colonization stuff, but as just a, you know, bang up action movie.
Yeah. They're not trying to teach a lesson.
Yeah, they're not trying to hit you over the head with it.
Yeah.
But it is there and you can take it.
Guys, it's woke, but not too woke, according to these two gentlemen.
It's excessively woke.
The art of it's there. Like, it's like, I find like, that's the thing.
I really love, just speaking like action-y, like it's the choreography of all of the action scenes was so fucking cool.
It felt like real, the action scenes. Yeah. Like that. Her, what she was doing, it didn't feel like she was a superhero. You know what I mean? It didn't. Well, it felt like she could actually do these things.
Well, the thing that I really remind me is that, you know, the scene where she falls into the
sand.
Yeah.
Ooh, you
know,
scene.
Instead of being, you know, there like panicking and everything, she uses her axe, you know, and that's not even of the predator. I mean, it's literally just how people in those times would get out of that, you know. There's so much of that kind of I hate to use this word, but the resiliency, you know, of people that were I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right, Lewis. No worries. You bringing that point up, I was just thinking to myself, so easy to die back then, predators aside.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And then you add a predator in there.
Her whole, like you were saying, Lewis, her whole skill set is like, she is very much like the Jeremiah Johnson or the Grizzly Adams or whatever, like that kind of character where.
The Buffalo Rider. Buffalo Jones.
Buffalo Jones.
You know, with the Predator movie, it's like they came into that world too, you know? But this girl who's about 14 or 15. I mean, she was born into this, you know. She was into this type of this hunting, you know, this trying to be a hunter. So that's kind of why I feel it's kind of better, because you're on Schwarzenegger, you know, they're tough guys here who have to fight 5 or 6 or 7 predators. But this is really just one teenage girl, you know, who took him on, you know?
I love the theme, too, that she's underestimated by her people, but also by the predator. And that's her strength is that she's underestimated.
Yeah, she used that to her advantage. And I like how there were moments where she fails. Mm-hmm. And she's not like a Mary Jane, where I hate that word, that term anyway.
Mary Jane?
Where like
Mary Sue,
where they like get their powers all right away and they're superheroes and they beat the villain right away. She like learns and like evolves.
She's paying attention. She doesn't have the blind spots that her brothers and the other members of the hunting parties have. Yeah. Like they have made conclusions about everything they encounter that she questions, like throughout, like, you know, whether it's like in the encounter with the lion, I guess, like it was like a cougar or a mountain lion. Like there's at each turn, like she's evaluating things in a completely different way.
Well, I love how like they said, like she said she observes things and that's her strength.
Yeah.
And she like, you know, she can see things other people can't. And, you know, she, like,
yeah,
uses that against, to the predator's advantage.
And also, this is kind of, I really liked her companion was the dog.
That fucking dog. That fucking dog. That's the edge she really had.
Yeah.
Was that beautiful beast.
Well, there was like a lot of tension with the dog. Cause I was like,
I
kept waiting for it to be.
I didn't think it was going to die though. I never felt that.
But when I see a dog in a movie,
you just immediately, in an action movie,
I'm always prepared to see the dog get hurt or die.
Brace yourself. Yeah. But I think
I like the dog really held his own, you know?
Yeah. They're really part of one thing. They're a unit.
Yeah.
Like, I love that that's something they don't punish the audience or her, have to have this big. The stakes are already high enough. You don't have to ever raise the stakes in this movie.
Don't say stakes.
It would make your tummy hurt. But like, I love that it's survival. So like, you don't have to have the dog die or any of that. Like, but she knows that she needs the dog. That's something else that none of the other hunters had. It's just another thing that sets her apart, that she knows. And she may have been an early adopter of using a dog to hunt. Those are the things that you don't know.
She's an early adopter.
like you know what I mean? Like,
who rescued who? Am I right?
There's that movie Alpha about like the first dog, which I still haven't seen, but I love the concept of it. I love the idea of a man and an animal working together to survive. And I think that's something that edges this out over, I think, the original movie in a lot of respects, because it makes it more animalistic overall, because you realize she's an animal, the predator's an animal, we're all just fucking animals. You might as well not be able to talk.
That was one of the things when we watched it, I had said to Elise, I was like, this makes you kind of like, it kind of gives you an idea too, like to feel like what it was like when people were still a part of the food chain.
Yeah.
Like when obviously if you go camping, you might be in danger from something, but like when you had to be worried about bears and mountain lions and snakes. You know, like not that snakes weren't trying to eat you, but you get bit.
They could kill you.
You die. Yeah. Things were trying to eat you also. And it's like we're so far removed from that now. And it was a nice example of seeing human beings, like you said, just part of nature. And that stood out to me too.
Yeah. It's good shit.
Was the implication that this was the first predator to come to Earth?
I think it was his first time on Earth because it was experimenting with those smaller animals first, trying to figure out what the toughest target was.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the implication was it was that predator's first time on Earth.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the species' first time.
Because I think it's probably like a rite of passage, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And because he was going through every state of every animal, you know, from the snake to, you know, the bear. So I think he was doing his but I think he was basically doing his predator thing, and
his predator orientation.
Well, yeah. How
his journey kind of reflects hers too. They're like kind of the same character.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's, I love that because one. It's like a boxing match.
Yeah, because the predator, in a way, has to prove himself too.
Yeah. And they're always doing that. Like, that's what, you know, they don't get into that in the first movie, but that's, again, why I love too, is they get into exactly that. That this is sport for them. And it's very much about trophies.
Yeah, and there are times when you're rooting for the predator, even though he's supposed to be the villain, but when he slaughters the fur trappers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're like, do it, dude. Have fun.
And then there's that deleted scene where all the predators who've already been to Earth are like talking it up to him before he goes. They're like, you're going to love it. First, you're going to want to try killing a snake. It's pretty wild. And then there's these things on two legs that probably fuck your shit up, but it's worth a shot.
But you're going to want to go to the non-touristy area. So here are some...
where the locals go.
Where the locals go. You want to go inland where the locals are.
Don't go to L.A., downtown L.A.
The girl who played... That was Amber Midthunder.
Yeah.
She was in... have you guys watched Reservation Dogs at all?
Not yet, but my mom loves that show.
There was a last season. There was a very funny episode where she was this kind of new age healer, you know, for the kids to come to, and it's very funny. It shows her comedic talent. That's better.
She was great.
She's got like kind of a prestige film coming out too. Centurion, the Dancing Stallion. It's coming out in April. She's I don't know if it, I think it's might be a true story. I'm not sure. I thought Tar was a true story for a while though, so you can't trust what I say. But it's about it's the Mexican horse riding competition movie. So it's kind of more of one of those prestige dramas. I've never seen that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they're really neat.
Yeah. The very intricate shit these horses can do.
She's making the new Avatar movie too. Not Avatar as in James Cameron, but the last
Airbender.
Airbender, yeah, they're making that. She's in that too.
Good for her. She's fantastic. A lot of charisma. Mm-hmm. I want to see things from her. Good.
You know, especially after in the movie, you know, when they come to the carvings, that shows the Indian the predators coming back to their. Did you see that?
What
was that in the beginning of the movie?
No.
The closing credit stuff.
Yeah, the credits.
Oh, you know what? Like, I want to go back and take a closer look at that because.
Yeah, I don't know if I realized. Yeah.
Yeah. When they're showing the credits, it's all the stuff that happened in the movie, and then right before it goes to the regular credits, it shows the spaceships coming down to the tribe. And I would love to see another sequel to that
where it's like war, absolutely. Like open field warfare with like the tribe against the tribe of predators.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a tribe.
She could be like a general character. Oh, it writes itself.
I think it'd be good.
I do too. Open world video game where you like we were talking about No Man's Sky or like Jedi Fallen Order where Skyrim. You get these games where you get in a spaceship and go from planet to planet. That's ripe for some Predator stuff there. You could do a whole Predator game where you go from planet to planet and multiplayer shit. This it's like an underutilized IP, I think.
Somebody scoop up Freddy the Idea Man. He's got scoop him up.
Scoop me up like a
scoop him up.
My gold ice cream. Okay.
We're about to thank our Beelzebubs, but I wanted to ask Lewis what the next movie is first.
I was thinking of the movie that but there's one that Andy had already
Flashback.
So I found out the Oh God!
35mm print.
I'm sorry, it still is not very working.
You're all right.
You're working great.
The
Forever Purge.
That's kind of both.
Into it.
Mexican and Native Americans.
Great.
And they're both trying to find both of them. So, like, it's a good into the type of for the Hispanic Marriage Month. That's the same. It works for both of you, so
might as well. So we'll start with Slashback, and then the next.
We'll do Forever Purge.
Sorry,
Slashback was a roulette movie, so we've already
a roulette movie
recently.
Right.
Yeah,
so, I'm with you now.
Yeah,
all right. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, Freddy's here, you guys.
I'm on same page with everybody now.
It's very very different. The Purge is mostly people in the city, you know.
Yeah.
And they really went different with this one, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so.
I'm psyched. I haven't seen it either. I love a Purge movie.
All right. Well, at the end of the show, we always say hi to the Beelzebubs. Patreon.com/NOTLP, if that's your thing. Elise!
I smell that steak.
Thanks for the meat.
Alyssa! Brandon and Emily. Jeffel! Dustin! Iona Goodwin.
Great one.
Dr. Brian.
I mumbled that.
Bill Farner. So Bill, you're just getting Bill. That is your nickname now. It's just straight Bill.
You don't want to call him Mario Kart?
I'm going to call you Mario Kart.
You're just
Karts.
A Bill.
Just
I'm
a
just
Bill.
A Bill.
I'm Capitol Hill.
I already said Bill Farner, but I will say it again. Blake. Frosted Blake, sorry. Blaine Yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Jordache Jeans.
The Ballast Breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Paul. Happy birthday, again. Yeah. But I did tell
happy
him that already once.
Birthday.
Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora.
Miss you.
Ernie, Dave Siebert, and Monica.
I hope to see some of you at Horror Hound weekend.
Show me your faces.
And welcome to new patron Ian.
Ian, welcome.
Hi, Ian.
So thank you, guys. Thank you, Lewis.
You don't have to be crazy to be a patron, but it helps.
It does help.
Ian. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thank you.
Wait.
Where can people find Lewis if they want to find Lewis? Where's the best Lewis place to Lewis?
The Lost Ogle. And Twitter.com/ Lewis Fowler, LOUISFOWLER. And
the Instagram.
Yeah.
Lewis Fowler there as well.
But it's like 79, right?
Yeah, 79.
Oh. He's like, I'll do you 10 better.
Ooh.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thank you. David Kessler walks the streets of London.